wait for that. You can't wait for us to respond to your love. Respond to God in your fullness of who you are. And yet you, in your fullness of your Godness, your goodness, your kindness, and everything that you are, you stoop down. And you love upon us. And we want to say thank you this morning. Thank you, God, for loving upon us. It's a reminder of that scripture that Andre shared that says that, and through the Spirit we cry, Abba, Abba. Thank you, Papa. We might call you Abba, even though you are the creator of the universe. That just breaks my mind, God. Who are we that you would love upon us, God? Who are we that we might call ourselves children of the living God? Thank you, God. And Father, as we listen to Christopher now, Father, we pray that the light will shine upon you and also into our hearts, God. And we receive Chris, Father, and we receive your word through the Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jalla kan gaan sit as jy wil. Meester sit al. Het ek so lang gebid.
Ek jy by hom getuig. Goeiemôre almal. Good morning. Moweni Bafundi. My laerskool kos al wat ek kan onthou. I want to quickly share a prophetic word that I felt in worship. First to a person. Ek het hom voor die tyd ontmoet, hy het hier gestaan in worship. Francois, hy was 'n Francois wat hier gestaan het. Is hy nou weg? Ek sal. En dan het ek 'n profetiese woord vir die gevoel vir die kerk wat ek net gaan deel, so ek submit dit. Net gevoel terwyl ek worship dat dalk is dit meer 'n encouragement as wat dit 'n prophetic word is, maar dat ek net voel vir my die Here het my herinner dat hierdie kerk, this church, Josh Jane Swellendam, has a large inheritance yet. Yeah. But I felt the few, yeah, so this like I felt like this church has reached or has only seen the tip of the iceberg. There's much, daar's nog baie meer. Sê gou saam met my baie meer. There's much more that God wants to still do through the church. And what I need you to hear when you hear that is, it's not that God wants to do it through Charles. It's that God wants to do it through all of you. And I felt that the future inheritance of this church is connected to individuals who feel like they've lost their inheritance, but God wants to restore it. And I'm reminded just very short, this is not my preach, very shortly, I'm reminded 5 years ago, I was one of those elders that publicly repented and walked through a painful but ultimately beautiful process of restoration. And in that time, I've started praying a prayer. It's not my prayer. It's the prayer of a very old legend who's long dead. His name is Augustine, and he prayed this. And this is something that I have prayed a couple of times in my life, and I keep praying it. And it says this: "My soul is like a house, small for you." And he's praying to God. My soul is like a house, small for you to enter, but I pray you to enlarge it. It is in ruins, but I ask you to remake it. It contains much that you will not be pleased to see. This I know, and do not hide. But who is to rid it of these things? There is no one but you." And there's this other modern new song that I've been listening, and just the three lines: "Make my heart a cathedral, make my soul your temple, make my life an altar where your fire falls." So, Father, I just want to pray for this church, Lord. I want to pray specifically for individuals who feel like they have lost an inheritance. But, Lord, you are powerful to restore. And it's your heart to restore not just what we've lost, but even beyond that. And so, Lord, I pray for the individuals in this church who feel like they've got to sit on the bench, or they've made too many mistakes, or they've lost that zeal and that passion for you, God, that you want to restore it. And Lord, and in them responding to you, Lord, you will enlarge the inheritance, not just of them, but of this whole body of believers. I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Is it okay? Okay. Is that Francois say terug? Francois, ek het net gevoel, daar's 'n skrif in Openbaring. Ek het in worship net vir jou gevoel. Ek het gevoel daar is so, ek ken jou glad nie, so ek jy moet ook maar hierdie toets. Ek het net gevoel in worship, daar is soveel krag in jou getuienis. En ek het gevoel die punt vir jou is om jou in jou gees wakker te wees vir elke oomblik wat daar 'n geleentheid vir jou is om jou getuienis te deel. En ek sien net hoe jy mense in die koninkryk inbring soos wat jy jou getuienis deel. So ek ken jou nie, ek hoop dit maak sin. Ja, bless jou. All right, my name is Christopher. Het ek dit gesê? All right. My name is Christopher. Hello. For those, if you've seen me before, I look different. Winter is the wrong time of the year to cut your hair like all off. But it's not out of choice. I lost a bet. So, last weekend I lost. So the last 2 years I've had this bet with a guy. I was an old chummy and he's an old boy Zaya. So the interschools was last weekend. So a year ago I cut his hair, and now this year he cut my hair. So there we go. It's 1-1. So yeah, we did lose. I'm from Bonnievale, and my beautiful wife, Lisa. My two children that went that side, and our youngest, Fritz, who is now 4.5 months old. So it's the five of us now, and it's a privilege this morning. Thank you, Charles, for inviting, and I'm just really hoping to encourage you all closer to Jesus, into greater effectiveness, into greater fruitfulness. So, Lord, I pray just for this preach. Lord, I pray for your spirit to speak to individuals. And speak to us collectively, and that your word, Lord, your word would fall on fruitful soil. It would not return void. It would not return empty. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to just go for it. Start. The title of my preach is the ripple effect of faith, and I've got a picture there for you that hopefully you can see what it is. And I'm going to quickly just stand still at that picture for a brief moment. What I want you to see is a droplet of water, or not just one, because there's already a ripple in the water, so that means that one droplet has already fallen into the water, but it looks like there's another one, or that's just the one that jumps up. All right, kudos to the photographer that captured that one. So what I want to talk about this morning is the ripple effect of faith, which means that faith in Jesus is the thing that comes from above. It's not something that we can conjure up ourselves. It comes from God, and it falls, and our life, your life, my life, your life, is the bucket of water into which faith comes. And if true saving faith comes into our life and it hits the water of our life, there has to be a ripple effect. So the fact that we see a ripple effect means a droplet of water has fallen into it. If there's no ripple, if you look at a water bucket like that and you see no ripple effect, the only conclusion can be that there has not been a droplet of water falling from above. Shall I make my? So this brings me to another old dead guy who's a legend, who's pretty much defined also our lives, if you know it and you didn't know it. Martin Luther said, the faith, I think, I don't know, it's not on the, we are saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. In other words, if you are a Christian, there's a ripple effect in your life. It's not a result of your own effort. It's not like I'm going to decide now to, I'm like the body of water and I want to create a ripple effect. No, we as humans are incapable of producing the fruit that pleases God by ourselves. We need salvation. We need faith in Jesus. But if truth, faith comes into our life and we believe in Jesus, then there must be a ripple effect in your life. And I want to briefly look at a couple of things, definitely not an exhaustive list, maar ek wil na 'n paar goeters kyk in ons lewe that serves as this ripple effect that other people will see in our lives. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read through a portion of scripture. So it's a little bit longer than usual. So it's longer than 3 verses. It's going to be 9 or 10 verses. So I want you to bear with me. And then what we're going to do is we're going to break this up and we're going to look at this. So 2 Peter 1 verse 1 to 11. You can read with me. Oh, that's a TV look. Amazing. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and our Savior Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Crazy that actually God's plan for you is to be someone who shares in the very nature of God. Anyway, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire, for this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities, say with me, if. Okay, that's an important if. Most times in the New Testament, if there's an if, it's an important one. This is an important one. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, not just you've got it a little bit, no. If they are yours and they are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever, say with me, whoever. Okay, hier kom die waarskuwing nou. Whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. That's like you're like back to before you knew Jesus, which is pretty much very bad. So, verse 10. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, say practice. All right. You will never fall. It's actually a promise. It's actually a promise that if you put this into effect, you will never fall. Who in this room can say that they've never fallen? Okay, no, thankfully no liars here. Which means that we, and that's why Peter says, we are, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, which means none of us here are like at the end. We are somewhere along the beginning or the middle towards the end, which means there's room for improvement, which means none of us, all of us fall to some degree, but there's a, if we practice this, there's a promise, and to the degree that we practice, we can actually increase, and we can fall less and less. For in this way, where? Into practice and live it out in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm tempted. So I'm going to go back to verse 1. Thank you. I'm tempted to skip over verse 1 because the important stuff is most not in verse 1. But I want you to see this, that Peter says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle. Very important. He's not Apostle Peter. He's Peter, a servant and apostle. In other words, he identifies himself not by his function in the church. He's not Apostle Peter. He's Peter, an apostle. It's not Pastor Charles. It's Charles, a pastor. I'm not Pastor Chris. I'm Christopher, a pastor. When I die and go to heaven, that function in me is going to die. When I get into heaven, I'm not going to be your pastor. Melania, give me the good man. So my function in the body of Christ as a pastor or whatever is temporary. My calling and my identity as a son of God is eternal. So, and that's why Peter and all the letters in the New Testament, never do they introduce themselves as I am Paul, Apostle Paul, or Apostle Peter, or Apostle John. John an apostle, Peter an apostle. Yes, they recognize the identity, the function they have, but more importantly, their identity is rooted in Christ as a son of God first. I'm tempted to skip that, but it's important actually, yeah, to preach about the first verse in the letter as well. All right, so don't get mixed up. Verse 2, let's quickly go back. Just one more thing. It's important what Peter says here is that he is writing to Christians and he says, you have obtained a faith of equal standing than ours. What he's saying is that, he's saying that even though I'm a leader and an apostle, my faith in Christ is not superior, it's not better than yours because I'm now this apostle. Now he says, we share in the very same faith in Christ. Our faith is of equal standing before the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? All right, verse 2. I want to not get lost and not get sidetracked, so that I want to stick to my to a time limit that I'm going to really try my best. So what I want you to see here is, I'm going to quickly use verse 2 and verse 5. I'm going to put them next to each other because in your Afrikaans Bible, gaan jy die woord kennis sien. In English, it's knowledge. So in verse 2 and in verse 5, there's this word knowledge appears twice. But what your English Bible or your Afrikaans Bible doesn't tell you is that the Greek word for knowledge in verse 2 and the Greek word in knowledge verse 5 is not the same Greek word. which means there's a different meaning. So I'm going to quickly show this to you. So verse 2 says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That Greek word for knowledge is epignosai. Say go some with my epignosai. That's epic, né? And then in 2 Peter 1 verse 5, which we'll get to just now, says, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith virtue, virtue with knowledge. So that knowledge is the Greek word gnosin. Say with me, gnosin. So the one, epignosai, the first one, is relational, deep, intimate knowledge. The other one, in verse 5, is intellectual, general, and factual. Now, the first thing that my mind does, I don't know if your mind does the same as my mind, is my mind immediately says the one is good and the other is bad. No, otherwise Peter would not tell us to add the other one as well. So they're not both bad. The een is albei is goed. But to quickly illustrate this so that we can understand this, who in this room knows who Siya Kolisi is? Wie weet wie Siya Kolisi is? En as jy nie weet, waar was jy? So everyone here, we know Siya. We know that he went to PE in grade PE high school. We know that he played for Western Province. We know that he mostly plays number 6. We know that he's the captain of the Springboks. We know that he lived... Sê weer? Okay, maar nou weet jy. Waar was jy? Don't get sad. So we know about Siya Kolisi, but who in this room actually can tell us they know Siya Kolisi? Like you're a Siya Kolisi. That's the difference. The one is not bad, but when it comes to our relationship with Jesus Christ, Paul in another place says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. So it's not that the one is bad. It's that the one needs to be first. Jesus says, through his word, through Peter, he tells us that knowledge of God is a great thing. But mere knowledge about God, without intimate relational knowledge with God, that destroys us. It's of no benefit to us. But the moment if you are born again, I remember the day when I got born again. Yes, I was 16 years old in high school, and I was in 'n kursus gewees. Every single day, we were forced morning, evening. We had to like either read our Bibles or pretend to read it. So I actually tried to read my Bible, but I can't remember anything that I read. Because I was trying to add knowledge without intimate knowledge. But then somewhere September 2006, someone invited me to this cell group, and this guy shared the gospel, and I was like, my eyes opened up. I saw Jesus. I saw what a wicked sinner I was, and I just knew I had no choice. I had to surrender. And I tell you what, after that moment, every spare minute I had, do you know what I did? I read my Bible. I actually, in my first year of being saved, I don't know where it is. It's a pity. I think it's lost. But I actually had a flip file where I summarized every verse in the New Testament as a 16, 17-year-old. Because there was something in me now that was drawn to who Jesus was, and I wanted to know him better. I was reading my Bible for 3 years, but now it changed. Now the words became alive. And this is the difference. Peter says this, he wants us to gain knowledge, but it has to start with an intimate relational knowledge with Jesus Christ. And I want to say, and I'll give an opportunity at the end. I'm going to create an opportunity. If you are sitting here today and you don't have intimate relational knowledge of Jesus, you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you don't hear his voice, You don't know how much He loves you. I'm going to create an opportunity for you to respond. Because we grow up in a culture that says a lot and knows a lot about who God is. But it's intellectual, it's general, it's factual. And that without a deep, intimate, relational knowledge with Jesus is worthless. You know, the virgins, they're going to, in Matthew 25, or many people, Jesus says, we prophesied in your name, da, da, da. I never knew you. They knew about God, but they didn't have epignosis. They didn't have an intimate, deep spiritual relationship with Jesus. So that's the difference between knowledge in verse 2 and knowledge in verse 5. It's amazing how two verses can get you busy for 20 minutes. All right. Are you still with me? All right. Verse 3 and 4. So verse 3 and 4. So where I want to get with this preach is I want to get to verse 5 to 7. Because verse 5 to 7 is about you. Secho mai, ek, me. Verse 5 to 7 is about you. Because there are some things that God cannot do for you. He can save you. He gives you everything you need to walk this Christian walk. But there are some things where He says, I'm calling you, I'm inviting you to be someone who participates. And that part, if you're not going to do it, you're going to miss out. You're going to stay where you are. You're not going to grow. This is something that Charles cannot do for you. This is something that you've got to, in your own faith, you've got to, the Bible says, Peter says, and we're going to get to it, you have to add this to your faith. All right, so let's, but verse 3 and 4 is actually important because it lays the foundation. So let's start verse 3 again. His divine power. Whose divine power? God's. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So in other words, what we need to live this Christian life is not something that we need to find within ourselves. As jy diep binne in jouself gaan kyk, raai wat? Jy gaan niks kry nie. Hierdie slogans en goed wat mense uitstuur op WhatsApp en goeders, het werkie. Because it's our power, and our power amounts to nothing. His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of Him who called us. Who called us? Hy het. Hy roep ons. Hy is die een wat jou uit donkerte uitgeroep het. Hy is die een wat vir jou sy bonatuurlike krag gee. Hy is die een wat vir jou uit die wêreld uit die donkerte uitroep. En hy is die een wat ons roep na sy eie glorie. His own glory and excellence. Okay, who's doing all the work in verse 3? God is doing the work. This is the gospel. The gospel doesn't start with you and me. It starts with God. He gives. He provides. Alles wat ons nodig het, it starts with Him, not with us. All right, so whenever you get stuck in your faith, whenever you feel like I'm stuck, I'm not growing, I don't know how to do it, I'm not patient, I don't have self-control, I don't know, da-da-da-da-da, the answer is not try harder. The answer is go back to the one who gives it. And this is something that doesn't change after 20 years of walking in. You see, the gospel is not the one thing I did in 2006 when I gave my life to God. It's not that ek in 2006 my lewe vir Here gegee. Okay, nou s'ek sort it, and nou moet ek my gym, my geestelike gym elke dag. Dis ook goed en dis ook. We need the gospel every day. We need to come back to Him and start with Him every day. He provides the power. He provides everything that we need for His glory and excellence. All right, verse 4. He has granted to us precious and very great promises. It's promises in the meervoud. What is meervoud in Engels? Plural, thank you. Thank you. So, I want to say this promises that is promised here, it's, I think it starts with the Holy Spirit, because if I read the next sentence, nobody else but the Holy Spirit can make me a partaker of the divine nature of God. But it's not just the Spirit, because otherwise it would not have been plural. So it has to be the gifts of the Spirit. It has to be the promises of the Spirit. It can't just be the Holy Spirit. It's everything that comes with the Holy Spirit that's promised to us. So let's just read that again. By which He has granted to us, for you and me, great promises. So that through the promises granted to us, one of the promises we sang in worship, if as ons nader aan Hom kom, beloof Hy kom nader aan ons. So that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Okay, so this is the gospel. This is the foundation. Die volgende drie verse where God, through Peter, is going to tell us things that we need to do. We have to do these things on top of this. It has to start with God. It cannot start with you. Otherwise, it's just self-righteousness. Otherwise, self-gerechtigheid, jou eie effort. And that will not get you through. That will not get you to overcome sin in your life. All right, Charles, is it nog okay? All right, so let's look at the things that God is inviting us. That He says, okay, there are things that I want you to do. I'm not going to do it for you. I'll provide everything, like we just said. I'll provide all the ingredients. It's like me and my wife. What did we do with our 4 month when Fritz was three, four month old, sleep regression? Our lives are chaotic. What did we start doing? We started baking sourdough bread. And it's a process, and it's adding the ingredients, and every ingredient has a role to play. And I'm getting there. So if you come and visit me, hopefully I can give you some sourdough bread. So that's, I'm not a pro yet, but I'm interested in becoming a pro. but these are ingredients that we have to add. We have to put it in the mix. God provides everything we need, but jy moet dit byvoeg, jy moet dit insit, jy moet dit doen. All right, so let's look at this. And just a disclaimer, I said this to Charles yesterday, for the sake of time, I'm only going to do the first four. I'm going to leave homework for you to do the last three. Is that okay? All right. So the first one is virtue. Now, just before, I want you to picture a Russian gymnast, a Russische gymnast, yeah. Weet julle dat in Russia it's very cold in the winter. It's like the lakes and the freeze. It's like extremely cold. So I want you to picture and have in your mind a Russian gymnast whose eye is on an Olympic gold medal, let's say in a year or two when the Olympics enroll again, or 3 years, I don't know when it's. So the word for virtue in Afrikaans is deegsaamheid. Nie deeg soos in brood deeg nie. Deegsaamheid. So I found this definition of virtue, which is beautiful. It says virtue is a submission to a standard that is right and holy. In Afrikaans, om onderdanig te wees aan 'n standaard wat reg is. So when you become a Christian, you actually, Jesus says in the Gospels, you've got to count the cost before you. So actually, when you become a Christian, you actually says there is a standard that is right and holy. There's a way that God approves of. You agree with me? And there's a way that God disapproves of. So when you become a Christian, you immediately actually submit yourself into this virtue of, I want to live a life that's pleasing to God and holy. And so when Peter says add virtue, it's this choice. And I want you to think of the gymnast who's making a decision in a mind and heart, saying, in a year or two, I'm going to win the gold medal, and I'm going to start now, and I'm going to put things in place that's going to cause me to get there. All right, so I'm not going to stand too long on these points, but so I think for most of us, virtue is not the problem. Because I think if I ask the question, and I think all of us would genuinely say, yes, we want to live a life that is holy and pleasing to God. All right, so I'm not going to stand still on virtue. I think all of us are okay when it comes to virtue. The second one is knowledge. Now, this is the other knowledge, which is not, it's the factual knowledge, which is not a bad knowledge. It's just a different kind of knowledge, which comes after intimate knowledge. All right. So, I want to not stand long on this one, because I think it's actually very simple. I think actually it's we've got to be, as Christians, we've got to be people of the Word of God. And that means not, we believe in the Bible. When I say people of the Word of God, that means we actually read our Bibles every day. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 verse 17 says, all Scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Who of you today wants to be competent in God's eyes? Who of you wants to be equipped for every good work? God has got good works for you. Do you know that? He says, well, all Scripture is breathed out by God. Don't expect to be competent. Don't expect to be equipped if you're not reading your Bible. Sometimes we say, God, use me, use me, use me, but we're not competent. We're not competent because we're disqualified. We're not competent because we're not reading our Bibles. And I heard, Charles, in this church, there's a renewed, what's the word? Yes, desire. And there's Bible school, and there's a new desire for the Word of God. So I think that's great. So, en ek los vir julle huiswerk, so om in die woord te gaan. So I'm feeding into that. So, this list that we are going through now, it actually, one builds on the other. You can't start at the end. You've got to, you say, okay, I want to choose virtue. I want to submit myself to this way that is right and holy. The next thing is, okay, I'm not serving myself. I'm not following myself. I'm serving God. So I need to know and have an accurate understanding picture of who God is. So the next step in this line is I must gain knowledge of who God is. It can only come after I have an intimate knowledge with Him. But now I have to get to know Him. Because when I got born again in 2006 as a 16-year-old, most of my ideas about God were completely wrong. I didn't know what I didn't know. And so I'm thankful through the Word, I got to know Him. I got to see who He is. I got to see what He likes. I got to see what He dislikes. I started to see what He approves of and what He disapproves of. All right, so that's the Word. So, virtue, I submit myself. I want to be someone who pleases God. The next step, okay, tomorrow morning, Bible oop. Heart and Bible oop. The next thing, self-control. The Greek word for self-control, I'm going to put this up there, is, I don't have it, I forgot, anyway. Echkratia. Say something like echkratia. And I found this definition in a commentary that's so beautiful. It says, when reason fights against passion and prevails. When reason fights against passion and prevails. Now think of that gymnast. It's winter. It's like minus. It's not in Russian winter. It's not uncommon for like minus 20. Now think of that Russian gymnast. It's minus 20. Ek en jy dink ons kry koud hier in die oggende, né? It's minus 20 outside. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. It's dark. That Russian gymnast. Boom, ding, 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 wekker gaan af. Hoe gaan jou wekker af? And now that Russian gymnast is, I'm sure, just like you and me, there's a passion in that person's body telling him, "Lê nog 'n bietjie. Moenie nou opstaan nie." But then reason fights against passion. Reason says, "I've got to get up now because my competitors are now exercising. I've got to get up now. I've got to do this." And reason trumps over passion, and that gymnast decides to get up, put the clothes on, go outside in minus 20, go to the hall, the gym, wherever. And in that moment, what happened? Reason prevailed over passion. Tomorrow morning, if you decide to wake up and you want to start, maybe you're someone here today and you're not currently spending time in the Word or whatever it is, and tomorrow morning, ding, 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 your wekker gaan af, and you've made a decision, there's a war. There's a war between reason and passion. And actually, you decide who gets to win. So that's why knowledge is so important, because if you don't have knowledge, you have no reason to fight against the passion. All right. Okay, I'm going to go. Ek weet nie hoe lank ek al preek. Ek dink dit is al 1:30, ek moet nou land. The next one is steadfastness. So steadfastness is now, okay, I've chosen now to walk this road. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get up, or I'm going to, whatever it is for you. The good thing is to start today or tomorrow. But you know what's better than starting tomorrow? Is keep going on Tuesday and keep going on Wednesday. And I wrote this example here. I want to quickly share it with you. You, someone now deciding, okay, you in the Word of God, and in the Word of God, you read about anger, how anger, you start with, maybe tomorrow you start with Matthew in the Gospels, and somewhere in this week you get to the point where Jesus says, to be angry with your brother is as good as murdering your brother. Now, you didn't know that, but now you know that. And then on Thursday, after you've read that, during the day, your boss makes you really angry. But now you've gathered through the Spirit, you've read your Bible, you've read how Jesus sees your anger, and now you've got a reason versus passion moment, and by the Spirit of God, because He's in you, you say, you know what, yes, I feel like exploding now, but I'm going to stand on the Word of God, I'm going to respond, and I'm going to say, God, help me, I want to really show Him now, but you, oh, thank you that you are living in me. Now I'm responding in the right way. And then Friday, your boss makes you really angry again. But now you also remember that yesterday, I've responded differently to what I would normally respond. And I'm going to respond again in the good way that I responded yesterday, because that's how the Word of God instructs me to respond. And now you're doing it a second time. And now it's becoming your nature. You're becoming like Jesus. And in that moment when you act not in your anger and you pray and you ask God to help you, in that moment you are forever changed. Because in that moment Jesus says, "No, you are now like me. You have my divine nature. You can act the way I act in situations." And that's why we need the Word of God. It's actually beautiful how it fits together. I'm not going to... I get enough to say, I think. So the Afrikaans word for steadfastness, net julle dit in Afrikaans hoor, is volharding. Volharding. There's another English word that I love self-control, sorry, back to the previous. The other word for self-control that I saw in one of the Bible translations, that's beautiful, is self-mastery. I've got kids, I need that every single day. And it's like, actually, it's so practical. It's like with my kids. It's like, am I responding according to the Word of God? Or am I allowing my emotions to dictate my actions? Okay. Ek het die godliness nie, maar what I wanted to say is, let's quickly go to 2 Peter 1, verse 8 to 9. So I've done 4 now, so I'm going to just do my landing. I was going to cut my landing. But verse 8 and 9 says, "For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 9, "For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins." You see, what we often think in our Christian life is we often see ourselves in a neutral position. I'm not really taking ground. I'm not really growing. I'm not really going forward. But I'm not really sinning or living this bad, outrageous. I'm not really going backwards. So in our minds, what we do is we position ourselves in this middle, neutral space. When I read the Bible, there is no neutral. So you're either going forward, and if you think you're standing still, you're actually going backward. So there is no neutral ground where you're like, you know what, I'm yeah, daar en daar hoekie is die berserkers, die on fires, and he's yo, daar's die ander wat dankie tog, ons is nie soos hulle nie. Maar ek is maar iewers hier in die middel. No. You either practicing and living and adding these things or you're not. And if you're not, you're going backwards. And if you are living them and exercising them, you're going forwards. All right. So what I want to end with is I want to say, why this preach? Why am I saying this? Why does Peter write this? Peter writes this because if you can put the last one, verse 10 and 11. You see, I find in my own life that I stop practicing these things because ek verloor sig van die einde. I lose sight of the end. 2 Peter, and then this portion of Scripture ends in this way. "Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall." The goal is not, sê jy moet nou mooi hoor, the goal is not that you would never fall. Okay, that's just part of it. But the goal is verse 11. For in this way, lees het saam met my, "For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." That's the end goal. That Russian gymnast sees the end goal. The moment he or she loses sight of the gold medal, in that moment, they stop, they give up. You see, we lose sight of the end goal, that there's a way for us, that an entrance into the eternal kingdom. And yes, we know it's by grace. We know it's not our own doing, it's our own. But somehow, actually, there is a part where Jesus invites us that you need to practice this. You need to put this into your life. And if you do this, actually, there will be a way provided for you. It's not because of your effort, because God provides. Any person who lives a holy life know it's not because of their own effort. They know it's because the grace and the Spirit of God inside of them enables them to do this. But we must not also neglect that actually you have a responsibility. You've got to live it out. You've got to do it. You've got to add knowledge. Yes, Charles is going to bring you a word, and the elders are going to bring you a word, and there's going to be Bible school. But if you think that word, that is enough, it's not. It's actually, they're only helping you to access the knowledge in the right way. They're not actually giving you the knowledge. All right. Maybe let's close with one more verse, looking to Jesus. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. "Since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." And then it says, verse 2, "Looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. You see, I just mentioned we lose sight of the end. But you know how Jesus went through his most difficult moment? He did not lose sight of the end. He saw the joy that was set before him, enduring the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand. Worship you, Lord. Worship you, Lord. Worship you, Lord. I feel like the Lord wants to, I feel like there's people in neutral that the Lord wants to at least put in first gear. Holy Spirit, would you just come right now? And you know the beautiful thing is that if you feel stuck, if you feel like, man, none of those qualities, none of them are part of my life right now. You know what the good news is? It's verse 3 and 4. Just get back to him. He gives it. You don't have to find it in yourself. You can just come to him. So there's two types of people I want to call to a response and just pray for. And something that in our congregation that I'm constantly saying when I give an opportunity at the end of a preach, at the end of the day, who cares what anyone else thinks? I only care about what God thinks. So if the Holy Spirit is touching your heart, don't stay in your chair if I invite you forward. Don't harden your heart against him. Because you're responding to, not me, not to Charles, you're responding to God, to the Holy Spirit, who's knocking on your heart saying, let me in. So Father, I pray, just right now, that there would be no shame, no guilt, no condemnation, but purity of hearts as we respond to you. So the two types of people I want to just call out and invite forward is three types of people. The first one is, if you are here today and you know that you are not a born-again Christian. I went to church as a young boy with my family. I went to church. I read my Bible for 16 years. I went to CSFIA. I did a lot of Christian things, but in my heart, I knew I wasn't a Christian. I knew I wasn't born again. What we're saying today in this preach is impossible if you're not a Christian, and not a born-again Christian. So just with every head bowed and every eye closed, I don't know you guys, I don't know who are visitors and who are not. And maybe even some of you have been coming to this church, maybe even for 2 years, 3 years, and you've never given your life to Jesus. You've never been born again. You've been relying on your own self-effort. But maybe there's no one, but I want to give an opportunity. Just every head bowed, no one's looking around. If you are here today and you are sensing the love of Jesus reaching out to you and saying, you can be forgiven. You can be cleansed. It's almost like you hear God calling your name. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there anyone like that who wants to give their life to Jesus today? Who wants to be born again? Christopher, I don't hear his voice. I don't know him, but I would love to. Is there anyone like that? Just give an opportunity. Worship you, Lord. Worship you, Lord. Is there anyone like that? All right. The second group and the third group, I'm going to just invite you together. I just feel like some of you feel like you're stuck. You're in neutral. And just through the word, actually, you felt the Holy Spirit saying, it's time to move forward again. It's time to grow. It's time to not stand still. If that's you, why don't you start coming to the front? Worship you, Lord. Worship you, Lord. Thank you. No shame. No guilt. It's just the love of Jesus calling you. Just maybe you've been a member or how long you've been part of this. Just who cares? It's just you and Jesus. It's you coming out and saying, I'm not standing still. I'm growing. I'm persevering. Worship you, Lord. Worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't be shy. Don't hold back. Thank you. Worship you, Lord. Worship you, Lord. Worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that right now, as these people respond, Lord, you release your spirit. You release the power of your spirit right now into everyone, Lord. Worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you provide all we need. We don't have to conjure it up in ourselves. We don't have to figure it out. We don't have to do it in our own muscle, in our own strength. We can simply come and turn back to you, God. So if you're stuck in neutral, if you feel like even the prophetic word in the beginning, if you feel like your inheritance is lost, I actually believe you should also come forward and say, Jesus, Jesus, in your hands, I'm not lost. My inheritance is not lost. In you, Jesus, I have a great future. Worship you, Lord. Worship you, Lord. Worship you, Lord. We thank you for the work of Jesus on the cross. His death, his resurrection, his blood. It's made a way for us to live a life of glory and excellence unto your name. Not to ourselves, not for ourselves, but to your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you that these people who've responded, that they've come to you, Lord. They're not coming to me, not to Charles. They're coming to you, the living God. And I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, as they stand here in the front, Lord, as they respond to you, would you restore, Lord? Would you put them in first gear, second gear, Lord? Worship you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Taken me from the
I want Jesus to lead my feet this morning. So I'm in a very humble space before the Lord. This last, say, 2 weeks or so, it's been a great space. Just spending time with the Lord in asking Him to show me Him and who He is. I just wanna respond to Him and a heart to respond to the Lord. And I feel something, and that He's been stirring my heart, and I'm getting to where I want to get to. But I feel again this morning what I'm gonna do now. It's a place of. It's not to try and be an example. It's really a vulnerable place. But I felt this morning, I said to Renske, she's obviously Renske and the kids aren't here. We've got quite a big week ahead of us. Amia's going in for operation again on Tuesday. So if you want to pray for that, you can. So I felt just to give them a break today. They can stay at home and just rest a bit, because we know it's going to be quite a big week. But I said to her this morning, I want to repent in front of the church this morning. I haven't spoken to the elders. I haven't spoken to nobody about it. I was at somebody's place last night, and we started talking about the Lord and just how fragile we are, and how sometimes still broken we are and still growing. And so beautiful this morning, the word, and how we need to make every effort. So I'm taking a step again this morning, and I want to say, I've picked up something in my life, and the Lord showed me, and it's something that I'm growing into the godliness. And the Lord showed me that sometimes in conversations that I can become Peter Weterig. So I'm not sure what's that in English. Know it all. And it's not like sometimes I'll, just in a conversation, I'm going to say it as it is, that I know that God, it's a gift from God, it's not me. It's a gift from God that He gave me a gift of wisdom. I know that. So sometimes in conversations, I'll just get this deposit of the answer that needs to be given now. It's just something, it's not me. If you know me at all, you know it's not my intellect. It is a gift from God. I'm not the super smart guy. It's a gift, it's wisdom. But sometimes the devil will overuse that thing, and then I'll go into flesh and respond in a know-it-all sort of attitude, which is not in the Lord. And I want to say to you guys, and I felt that in the Lord, that I want to say to you, please forgive me if I had in a conversation. I haven't repented Jesus well. And sometimes we're okay with these things. And I want to go into a place of, hey, I'm just human. But I don't want to be just human. I want to represent Him well. And in these places I haven't represented Him well, I want to say sorry. If I ever made you feel minderwaardig, in a way I've maybe just shared something or felt like, hey, yeah, I know this. Ach, thank you, man. I know, you know, and then I'll respond in, yeah. Anyways, you know what I'm saying. I just felt I wanted to repent this morning. I just honestly believe that sin. It is, I'm not representing well. And it's not a transgression, is just a trespass, meaning something that I do unwillingly. It's not a willing sin, but I do feel that I wanted to say sorry this morning. And if I ever hurt anybody like that, and if you ever in a way, that's what I'm getting at, I don't want you to ever feel in my presence like you don't want to share because you feel like it's not going to sound smart. Does that make sense now? I don't ever want you to feel that way. Ever. And if I ever made you feel that way, I want to say sorry. Because I don't want to be that guy. Okay. And I know I was that sometimes. Okay. Just because of my insecurity. I don't want to give reasons and carry on the way I was, yeah, as a child and everything. It's insecurity. But it's not reflecting Jesus. So this morning I'm trying to add everything to my faith. Making every effort to represent Him in godliness. Amen. So please forgive me. And saying that, please do, if you ever feel like I did that, or I'm gonna do it, or I just did that to you, please say that to me, because I want to get better than that. Okay. Amen. So there's the offering boxes. We didn't